Thank you for joining us today on Glad Tidings, and you are listening to Pastor Sunita Phillips today. We hope you are encouraged by this message.
You know, every time you take the pulpit as a preacher, we come with fear and trembling, not just because we're nervous, but because we've been entrusted with the Word of God. And it's something which all of us never take for granted. And you know, we just want to invite the Prince of the Lord to speak forth, because His Word never goes forth void. His Word always will bear fruit if we allow it. If we say, Lord, let our hearts become good soil to receive Your Word today. So let's pray today, okay? Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful for Your love for us. We're so grateful and we're so thankful that You call us sons and daughters of God. We thank You for the privilege of worshiping You in this house. We thank You for Glad Tidings family. And Holy Spirit, we invite Your presence to come into every inch of this sanctuary, and even into every room, every place for those who are joining us online. Spirit of God, we say, have Your way, Your will. Prepare our hearts to be good soil to receive the preaching of Your Word. So Lord, we ask for Your anointing on the speaker and the listener. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Last week, how many of you were here last week? Give me a show of hands for those online. Say, I was there. How many were here last week? Wow. So many hands raised. My hand should be down. I wasn't here last week. No, I didn't backslide. Promise you. Pastor Michael knows where I was. I was in Glad Tidings Kuching. I was actually in Kuching for a series of a few days as a missions pastor, just making fresh connections and hearing the powerful things that God has laid in the hearts of different pastors and leaders. There's so many doors of opportunities open, because you know what? The harvest is ready. It's ripe already. It's exactly like what Jesus said. It's ripe. Ask for the workers to come in. Am I talking to workers today? Oh, there's only three workers here. Oh, Jesus. Am I talking to workers here today? There you go. The harvest needs every one of you in the hall and right there online. The harvest needs you too as well. Today, we continue our series of talking about discipleship. Pastor Linda rolled out four relationships very important for discipleship. If you weren't here, it's okay. There's no condemnation. Be like me. Go and when you miss a service, you go and check it out online. All right, go and check it out online. Don't miss out the momentum. And be a part of a connect group as well. She didn't pay me to say that, you know. But be a part of a connect group, because it's good for you. It's good for your growth. It's good for the church. It's good for the kingdom. And as we continue on a discipleship season, I want to speak to everyone, because every one of you here, guess what? You are a disciple. Tell your neighbor, you are a disciple. A disciple is someone who follows after Jesus, who wants to be just like Jesus. You know, we will never be exactly like Jesus, because He's perfect, He's God. But we want to be like Jesus. After coming back from Kuching, it was actually a series of going out to the field as well. Just prior to Kuching, the team to Sri Lanka, we went out on the 30th of March until the 6th of April. We came back just in time for a wonderful Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. And when the team was preparing, our partners over there were, you know, preparing us for what it was going to be like. See, the whole world went through the pandemic, including Malaysia, and we struggled. But Sri Lanka, they went through something in the midst of the pandemic. They had a tremendous uprising political situation, which then resulted in such a terrible and difficult economic crisis. You saw the news articles. You saw the different things being forwarded on your WhatsApp messages. Houses of politicians that were being burnt out, and even how the Prime Minister's own residence was overrun because they were upset at the way things were, there was a country in dire need. Of course, now things are calmer. That's why we could go for the mission trip. And as we went, our partners told us, please bring every single necessity that you need. We thought he was exaggerating, but we just dutifully obeyed. When you don't know, you just obey, okay? Amen? Yeah, just obey. So we obeyed. And we found out that one roll of toilet paper, because we eventually ran out of toilet paper, you know, it happens. So we had to buy toilet paper, and one little roll of toilet paper cost 4 ringgit. One roll. That was surprising to us. And because we were having to make our own breakfast, we had the facilities to cook. Thank God for wonderful team members that can cook. Hallelujah. And we couldn't find eggs. Every day we would go out during ministry time, we would be scanning grocery shops, the Kedai Runcit. We would look everywhere. We could not find eggs in Sri Lanka. That's how bad it is. We even brought what we called contraband. It's not contraband, okay? We brought milk powder. In a nation famous for their milk teas, was a nation that has been deprived of milk teas because milk powder was so scarce. It broke our heart to know. They said, like, wow, now in Bible school, we can't give them milk tea for their tea break. We can only afford to give them teh o. And if you know their culture, it's a big thing to not have milk tea. And so we bought for the pastors milk powder, simple. Simple milk powder. And they just received it. Like they were saying, we will only use it in times of emergencies. So we were laughing about it. But you know, I think they were serious because that's how it was. So when we went, we thought that we're going to be coming to a group of churches that's going to be broken, and you know, they're going to be needing a lot of encouragement from us, a lot of building up because they've gone through so much. So we expected, you know, to be ministering to a broken church. But you know what? Hallelujah. We did not come to a broken church. We came to a church that was flourishing in the midst of adversity, church. Hallelujah. It was powerful to see how the churches were just growing. And I'm not talking about growing in terms of buildings. Souls were being saved, and there was not just converts. There were baptisms being recorded, and there were churches being planted. In the midst of all of these things, in the midst of severe lack, the church continued to grow. Souls continued to come flooding into the kingdom. It was powerful to see and hear stories. We intentionally visited every single partner that we could so that we could hear from them. We could tell them that there is a family, the GT family, all the way in Malaysia, praying for them. And we went, and they said, thank you, Glad Tidings family. Glad Tidings, we gave extra. Because of the high economic situation, the committee agreed to give an extra amount of their regular support as well. But even that was still not enough with all that was going on. But yet, their gratitude was amazing. Let's take a look at some of the photos of our trip over there. These are just a little bit. You want to find out, you can talk to more of us. Yes, we also have ministering to the leaders under the trees. Coconut trees, ministering in the midst of the zinc churches, children evangelistic rallies. These are awesome. They intentionally reached out to children during the pandemic. These are all, well, they were all 90% pre-believers, intentionally being reached out, and they all gave their lives to the Lord. Hallelujah. We have to sow the seeds in young people. These are all children's ministries, whether it's in a classroom, whether it's on the floor somewhere. We go, we tell, because that's what it's all about. And one pastor told me this. He was in the midst of the pandemic. He had his own church, which he was growing, and he planted one more work. But then there was an ailing church, and the Assemblies of God said, will you agree to be plucked out from here and put into a need? So he agreed. He's our partner. He agreed. And they told him there's going to be about 20 or 30 people there. He went there was only 5. It was so discouraging. He was like, how do I do this? But he prayed. He took up this challenge, this young man. He's got 2 children now. He was on the brink of giving up his call, in fact, about 5 to 7 years ago. But he agreed. And you know, during the pandemic of 2.5 years, he grew his own church from 5 to about 35. And, hold on, hold your claps. And he also planted 17 home churches all around the region. Come on! God is on the move! So, all that you give to missions, all that you pray for missions, it makes a difference in the heavenlies. It makes a difference in all these nations. In fact, we welcome back the team from Cambodia. They just returned on Tuesday or Wednesday. Let's welcome them back. They came back with powerful stories. We had our missions meeting, and the team from Cambodia shared about how new areas are being opened. 90 over souls were being saved, even in their small trip. 90 over souls saved. Hallelujah! New villages, and there's going to be a new church planted there. India team came back as well. And they said it was the best trip in a long time. It was such a powerful move. More than 500 souls were saved. Hallelujah! We are populating the kingdom of heaven. And we need to continue. And that's what discipleship is about. It's when disciples like you and I go out and make other disciples. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Last week, Pastor Linda talked a little bit about Matthew 28, the Great Commission. There are 4 imperatives there, which are important for us today. Go. Next one is make. Make what? Oh, only 3 of y'all know that. What are we making? Disciples. Go make disciples. And what are you supposed to do with these disciples? You're supposed to teach them. You're supposed to baptize them. You're not just supposed to make converts. Yeah? Just like how you and I, we're not supposed to just be converts here today. We're called to be disciples, which means we are called to be disciple makers. I'm talking about you. Tell your neighbor she's talking about you. It's for all of us. Now, I want to take a show of hands. Let's do a survey. Even those online also, join me in this survey. How many of you have been saved? You came to know Jesus because you had Jesus come into your room. You had a personal encounter with Jesus. Jesus came bodily into your room. Or maybe you had a vivid dream and you woke up and he revealed himself. I am the Savior. Receive me. Anyone like this here? Anyone online? Oh, there's one over here. That's awesome. You need to hear your story. My uncle had the same experience. He didn't want to accept Christ. He literally ran away by driving his car. So, and the Lord is not scared whether you drive car or not. He appeared to my uncle even on the road, and my uncle swerved to another road, and he appeared there again, and finally my uncle parked the car and just said, okay. Okay. But you know what? Most of y'all here, you came to know Jesus because someone told you. Someone invited you. The Messiah's mandate, that's the topic for today. The Messiah's mandate for us to bring in believers, for us to save the world, is to go and tell. Can you say this with me together? Go and tell. For those online, type it out. Go and tell. That is the mandate. It's not complicated. Do you know who complicates things? That's right. Here lies in the problem of who complicates things. We complicate things ourselves. So today we're going to learn about go and tell. 5 different episodes, 5 different situations of go and tell. And we want to hear from the Word of God as well. First one. A story which we have all heard at one way or another. So I'm just going to give you a background before honing in on the actual verses. This is about a demon-possessed man at the Gadarenes. Now, the background to this man was he was filled with demons. The Bible tells us a legion of demons were inside of him. A legion. And he was so violent, he used to cut himself with stones. And, you know, he was like a crazy man, you know, just having outbursts. So he lived in the mountains among the tombs. And the people, the village folk, they were scared of him. The town people, they were very scared of him. So they used to bind him up in shackles. But he'll break free. That's how strong he was because of the demonic power in him. And so no one could help him. No one wanted to even come close to him except Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus came on a boat, met with him, and then you can read of the encounter, a powerful encounter where the demons fled at the name of Jesus. The demons fled at the word of Jesus. The demons left this man. And we know this man who once again recognized he needed to wear clothes. That's right. He learned to sit quietly and listen to Jesus and hear the Savior speaking love to him. And so in Mark 5, verse 18 to 19, we see this. And when he got into the boat, this is Jesus. When Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And all marveled. Sometimes our heart, we want to do certain things for Jesus. We want to, "Oh Jesus, I want to do this. I want to do this for you." And it's good. It's good to have all these great desires. But we need to hear from the voice of the Lord, what is his purpose for you? This man, he wanted to just be in the boat with Jesus. He wanted to just follow Jesus. "Maybe I take your food for you, Jesus. Let me just do everything and be with you." But Jesus said, "I have a job for you. I have a purpose for you. That purpose is to go and tell everyone in the Decapolis." Sometimes we say, "Ayo, Lord, I don't want to go and tell somebody. I'm so shy. I don't know where to start." Here's one way how to start. How do you start? You start by telling, going and telling of God's good deeds and his compassion on your life. I believe everyone here, you have a story to tell of God's good deeds and God's compassion on your life. Don't let it remain just in your heart. Share it out. Share it out. Go and tell. Say with me, go and tell. The second story, another familiar story, the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman was an ostracized woman because of her moral situation. She could not go and collect water in the daytime where all the other ladies, because they shunned her and it was an embarrassment to her. So she went in the hot time, in the noon time. And so she brought her water pot. She was used to men ostracizing her. But Jesus called her out on her sin, not to condemn, but to acknowledge, to reveal. Jesus revealed to her, the Samaritan woman, "I know you've had your 5 husbands. In fact, I even know the one with you now, he's not even your husband." But Jesus approached her with compassion. He didn't reject her. Instead, he brought restoration. You know, church, no matter how bad our past maybe, you have a story of restoration that can be told.
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Let's get back to the Word.
You have a story. Let's hear what the Samaritan woman did with her story. In John chapter 4, verse 28 to 30, the woman then left her water pot. She did not need the water of what she thought she wanted. She just wanted that, but the Lord gave her the living water. She traded it up for something more meaningful. She then left her water pot and went her way to the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I've ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out to the city and came to him. Jumping off to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all I ever did." And verse 42. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." One life that was broken, one life that was ostracized by her community and her family, one life that she thought that, who's going to ever believe me? It took a lot of courage to go to the very men, the very people who have probably been rejecting her and condemning her. But she went because the good news is too good to be prevented by our past. She took that step of courage and said, I got to tell this. I got to spread this. And her one act of courage, the entire Samaritan village was saved. Hallelujah. One act of courage, church. It just takes one act of courage. Go and tell that Christ is the Savior of the world. That's why we go and tell. Because Christ has come to save, not just you and I. He's come to save the whole world. Hallelujah. That's the good news. That's too good. And the good news is, no matter what your past is, He forgives. No matter how messed up you think your life is, whether you're right here in the hall or joining us online, the Lord wants to say this, "I forgive you, just come to me, my daughter, my son. Come and hear of me. Taste of the true living water." Amen. The next go and tell, it's the story of the resurrection. We just celebrated our resurrection service 2 weeks ago. When Jesus rose again, there were two Marys who were found at the tomb, and they had an encounter with an angel. One is Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary is most likely Mary, the wife of Clopas. And she is the sister of Jesus' mother, also known as Mary. So in one family, the two sisters were called Mary and Mary. Anyone got two daughters? You want to rename them Mary and Mary? You know, I'm wondering, how did the mother call them? Like, Mary? Yes, or maybe got five Marys. I also don't know. But they had a system in place. But nevertheless, it was Mary Magdalene and the aunt of Jesus that went to the tomb. And they were looking for Jesus. And let's see what happened here in Matthew 28, verse 7 to 8. "And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Go and tell. Go and tell the good news. He is alive. Go and tell he is not dead. He is risen. Powerful news. You don't know what to tell, you tell this. So I don't know where to start. You start with the good things God has done for you. You don't know what else to say. Tell that Jesus is alive. We serve a living God. Hallelujah. We tell that our Jesus forgives us of our past and he gives us a good future. Hallelujah. That's what we go and tell. There's so many ways we can tell of the goodness of God. And we as disciples, every one of us here, online and in person, you are called to go and tell. There were two things the angel told Marys, the two Marys to say. Go and tell that he is risen. And the second thing is this. He's going before you. He's going to meet with you. He's going to meet with his disciples. Guess what, church? When you begin to have the good news, you can tell people, he wants to meet with you. Maybe you're sitting down here. You haven't really had an encounter, a true meeting with Jesus. Today, he wants to meet with you. You're not here by accident, whether you're online, whether you're right here in the hall. It's not by accident. This is an opportune moment where Jesus wants to demonstrate his love and compassion for you and do great things for you as well. The best news, better than any other headlines in the world, for the last 2,000 years, there's only one best news, which is he is risen. Hallelujah. And he's going to meet every one of you. Amen. Give glory to God. Go and tell the tribes and nations. After the commission was given to the apostles, they waited, and we know the story in Acts chapter 2 where there was a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was poured out at Pentecost, and everyone there, they were empowered. They were empowered. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, the Spirit will come upon you. Why? To be witnesses. And not to have a feel-good moment, yeah? To be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And the Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, and there was a powerful move of the Lord. Pastor Linda shared last week in Acts chapter 2 as well. There was a new community being formed, a new family of God being formed, that the church was birthed then. And thereafter, there was also a great persecution that arose. And in that persecution, the disciples were scattered. The apostles were scattered. And among this, there was Philip. Philip was a godly man. He prayed. He sought the Holy Spirit. And one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Philip was asked to leave a much more comfortable city life in Jerusalem, to go to a desert, not even to a small village. He was asked to go to a desert. There's no village there. You're asked just to go to a desert. I'm like, wow, not even like go to the name of a kampong. At least I know which kampong I'm going to. It's just go down that road. There's a desert there. Just go. Who wants to go? Anybody? I will ask Pastor Michael if he can sponsor you. Go desert. Anybody? It's a hard call just to go to a desert. But Philip just obeyed. When the Spirit speaks, your job and my job is to obey. And so in verse 30, Philip obeyed, and then he encountered an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot. And verse 30 says this. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked him. Verse 31, and he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The story has a marvelous ending where Philip explains the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch finally sees, wow, so what's happening in Isaiah is actually connected. It's actually prophesying the birth of Jesus. And Jesus has come and he has risen from the dead. And the Ethiopian eunuch was so overjoyed. And he said, I want to be baptized and known as a Christian as well. And he saw a body of water and he said, yes, what's stopping me now? And nothing stopped them at all. They just went and baptized that Ethiopian eunuch, and such joy was breaking out with the two of them. And just right there and then, Philip was just removed supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. It was like a, now you see it, now you don't. Now we will see God, how many generation X and how many boomers here. It was the original beam me up Scotty moment. Huh? It did not come from Star Trek? It came from Acts chapter 9, okay? It came from here, okay? So nothing new under the sun, because God did it first. And so Philip was just translated out. And he continued on his ministry, not knowing what happened with the Ethiopian eunuch. He never knew. And the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Bible says, he went on his way joyfully. Now history and tradition tells us that this Ethiopian eunuch went on to start churches in Ethiopia. And the church of Ethiopia back then was a large, growing, and sending church. And I believe from this church, probably many came down south towards the continent of Africa. So Philip's go and tell did not just affect one man, one Ethiopian man, did not just affect one nation, but his obedience affected a continent. Tribes and nations can be saved when we realize all we need to do is go and tell as the Spirit directs us. And in the last days, the Spirit is directing every one of us. In the last days, the Spirit is going to be poured out in such immense measure. Why? Why did Prophet Joel prophesy that? It is because the outpouring has to come to empower the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to go forth and be His witnesses. So there is going to be an outpouring. There is already an outpouring because every single country that comes back from the mission field, my goodness, the stories are exploding of salvations, of baptisms, of churches planted. And not just abroad. We've even been seeing even our local Orang Asli works. They are growing and growing and growing. They're raising and raising pastors and leaders. Every time I look at that, when they submit their reports and their attendances, and I'm just amazed. God is doing big work, deep work, and He needs every one of us to be a part of this. Amen. Every one of us, you have a role to play. And sometimes the people that God asks you to share with, you may never know what happens thereafter. I don't think Philip ever knew the impact that the Ethiopian monk, the Ethiopian eunuch, actually made in his community. Maybe when he went to heaven, he discovered it. And maybe for some of you, when you go to heaven, you might get a tap on your shoulder. You might get a tap on your shoulder saying, "Hey, do you remember you shared with me 1 minute witness in the coffee shop?" And maybe you'll share so much of 1 minute witness you cannot remember. Say, "You shared with me, but I didn't accept, huh? But you made me think. And I went home and I found things online and I accepted Christ. And this person tells you, I brought my whole family to the Lord. And from my family, I raised two other pastors. And these pastors have gone here and there. And you wonder, and you always thought that my 1 minute witness, no big deal. People didn't accept Christ. But you never know what is at the end of your obedience. We are called to go and tell. It is the Spirit of God that convicts. We get discouraged because we think it's our job to do that. It's not your job. Tell the neighbor, it's not your job. Our job is to go and tell. Say with me, go and tell. Oh, only Pastor Michael believes it. Come on, our job is to go and tell. Even online, type it out, go and tell. I know you've typed it earlier, type it again. Go and tell. That's our job. Acts chapter 9 has another encounter, a powerful go and tell. Go and tell the whole world. God chose a murderer. God chose somebody who was intent on killing the church of Jesus Christ in Acts. God chose Paul. He had a divine encounter. He had a divine encounter, but he still needed someone physically to go and tell him certain things. And so the Lord asked Ananias. Now, Paul was on the way to come to the place where Ananias was to kill people like Ananias, to bring them to justice, bring them back to Jerusalem to be judged for their faith in Christ. And yet in Acts chapter 9, verse 11, the Lord says to Ananias, "Arise and go to a street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying." From verses 11 to 16, you find that Ananias is trying to debate with the Lord. He's trying to tell God, "I don't know whether you're aware, but God, let me update you that Paul actually is not a nice man. Paul actually has come to kill us all." Because he thought maybe God doesn't know. Sometimes we think God doesn't know our situations. God, are you sure you want me to share to this person? I think you don't know this person. This person is very anti you. Can you please give me someone else? I've done that before. And let's not do that anymore. I mean, all my years of being a believer, you can never out-debate God. God always wins, hallelujah. He has a plan. And so I'm glad for the sake of the world that he was obedient. Ananias went. And in verse 17, Ananias went on his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Ananias had to overcome fear, anxiety, maybe some biasness in order to share the gospel. He had to go and tell, even though it went against every fiber of his being. It went against everything that was common sense. Sometimes we tell people, "Aiyah, have a bit of common sense. How you want to share the gospel? Don't simply be so crazy." But I want to tell you, if the Lord has specifically spoken to you, the Lord will give you the wisdom on how to do things. Only three people again, believe me. All right. The Lord will open the doors when he speaks to you, okay? Hallelujah. And because of Ananias' obedience, Paul became an apostle to the Gentiles. And the Gentile world was evangelized. And from the Gentile world, it spread to the whole world. I hope you all know this. You all are Gentiles, right? Yeah. You all know you all are not Jews, okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. So the gospel came to us because of the obedience of Ananias. Go and tell the whole world. And now the baton is passed to all of us today. The baton is passed to us because as Glad Tidings, we stand on the shoulders of missionaries who have planted here. Missionaries who have given and given and given. We stand on their shoulders, and the Glad Tidings DNA is missions. That's our DNA. That's why we talk about missions so much. That's why we send teams so much. It's missions, it's evangelism, it's reaching out, winning souls, building people, impacting communities, reaching nations. Why? It is always about the Messiah's mandate to go and tell. The World Assemblies of God, they have embarked on a missions mandate 2033 to plant 1 million churches worldwide by 2033. Why 2033? Because 2033 marks the second millennium since Jesus' ascension. The second millennium since the day of Pentecost, since the birthing of the church. So we're believing that God is pouring out His Spirit for these last days to win as many souls as we can, to plant churches where there's no Christian witnesses. And we can only do it when the Church of Jesus Christ, when Glad Tidings together with the rest say, "Yes, we want to be a part of this missions movement, a part of this kingdom advancing movement." It is for everyone, everywhere. That's our missions theme last year. Last year when we came up with our budget, it was a bigger budget and we were wondering, can we do this? Can Glad Tidings do this? But by faith, we presented it to you in October. And end of March represents our 6 months. We are midway. We are in the midway mark and we wanted to give you all updates about where we are financially, where we are in terms of our support. And here we are. We budgeted for the year, for 12-month period, 2,395,000. We budgeted this amount, but church, every one of you, you gave, you have been giving, and our total amount collecting is 1,221,719 ringgit. Come on, give God the glory. For those of you who are equipped with math, you will know this makes up 50%. We are on target, but we need you to continue to sow, continue to give, because then the work is immense, it's intense, and we need partnership for our local home missions as well as overseas. we continue to support 231 workers overseas in our 12 nations. And locally, we have more than 20 that we are supporting, Bible school students as well as pastors. In the 6 months, we have gone for 13 mission trips, and so many more are already being planned. 13 mission trips, 58 people have already gone. If you started this year and you've been saying, yeah, like I've been meaning to go for a mission trip, don't mean anymore, just say, yes, I will go. Come and see me. Come and see any one of the pastors. Say, I want to be involved on a mission trip. Normally you say, I want to go, but don't know which country. Never mind, I come, I give you country. Okay? You don't know which country, I give you, okay? Because everyone, everywhere. Let's do this together. But before we go there, let's all say, Lord, I am ready to go and tell even right here. We start in our Jerusalem. We start in our Judeas, our Samarias. And then we go to the ends of the earth. Today, can I invite every one of you to make a fresh commitment to the Lord? Say, God, I want to go and tell my families. I want to go and tell my cities, maybe your balik kampung, your households over there. It's time. There is an end times outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it is the outpouring will give you a testimony to share. It will give you a deed of God that God has done in your life to share. So today, as the worship team comes and leads us, let's pray this song. Let's pray this song and let's respond to the Lord. And if you say, like, Lord, I don't know how, but I want to go. I want to share. I want to just do the 1 minute witness. I want to learn how to just share my stories. And you need that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. We want to pray with you. Don't just say, never mind, the Holy Spirit can touch me there. Yes, can touch you. But there's an act of courage and bravery for you to come. And for those online, make an altar where you are and begin to say to the Lord, I want to be part of the go and tell Messiah's mandate. Let's worship the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Glad Tidings. We hope that you are encouraged by this message. If you would like weekly updates, be sure to follow us on Spotify. To find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Once again, thank you for tuning in. God bless.